ask that you put your hand over your heart and raise your hand right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would saturate every heart right now, God, in this place. If you're on Facebook Live, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting, right on your couch. Maybe you're standing in your kitchen. I'm going to ask you to be proactive in this service with us. Put your hand over your heart. And God, I thank you right now, Lord, that every bit of this word, God, it goes to their hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, that it's planted. God, that it grows. And Lord, that people are changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome everyone to church this morning, and I'm excited to be here. We are just, Frank and I went on a vacation for a few days, and I know that everybody loves to know the pastor's business, so we went to Vegas, for anybody that's curious, and we had a great time. If anybody's offended about the Vegas thing, you're not going to like me because I'm also a woman pastor, and this is an interdenominational church, so that's probably a few strikes against me. But it is what it is, and I believe that in the last days that God will pour out his flesh on all people, our sons and our daughters, men, women, and everybody. So I want to welcome you here. This is a word of faith, charismatic church. We believe in the 9 spiritual gifts. And we believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in all of that. And I want to welcome you here. If you're Baptist, I want to say welcome. If you're Methodist, I want to say welcome. My husband here is Catholic, and he's always welcome, unless he makes me mad. But, no, we had a great time in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If you don't like jokes, and if you're a religious person, no kidding, this won't be the church for you. And I mean that, and I mean that humbly, but it won't be the church for you because I don't believe in a bunch of religion. I don't believe that if you don't wear a long-sleeve shirt and women, you can't wear makeup. I don't believe in that. I don't, and I don't see it in the Word. And so I'm a Word person. When I was 13 years old, we were on a trip to Mexico, and actually Brother Larry got us all involved to going to Mexico many years, and that was the youth trip. And I always felt sorry for the adults that had to take all of us awful kids to try to get us to get some Jesus up in Mexico, because that was a long trip to have to tolerate all of us, and we were awful. But when I was 13 years old, we had went to a church service, and I remember the Holy Spirit was so thick in that place that it freaked all of us kids plumb smooth out. And I got prayed for, and I just remember holding some of those little Hispanic children, and just the Spirit of God just got all over me in that service. I'll never forget it. But we were standing, we had this weird bus. They did weird things up in Mexico, especially 20 years ago or so. And I was standing on a bus, and I was meditating on the service that I had just gotten out of, because I'd never been in a church service quite like that. I mean, the Holy Spirit was so thick in there, you could literally just feel it. And there was places to sit down on the bus, and then there was poles, and you would stand up and you'd hold that pole. And I remember just meditating, Kayla, and I felt a warm brush just come over the top of me, and I opened my mouth, and I began to receive the Holy Spirit, and I began to pray in tongues, and I'll never forget that. And I know a lot of people don't believe in that, and I would not have believed in it either, except for it happened to me. And God orchestrates these divine appointments in our lives to change us. And I had one of these on our trip. And yeah, you can have a moment in God with Vegas, in Vegas. And I was sitting on the plane yesterday to come back. And I've got a finicky stomach. I get seasick, car sick, airplane sick, you name it, and I'll get woozy over it. And I was sitting there on this plane, and I was watching this woman, and she was sitting catty-cornered, and she was crocheting a purple, looked like a flower thing. And I was just watching her because I'm nosy. She was crocheting, and she flipped that piece over, and there was a string right in the middle of it from where she had crocheted it, and she drew that string, and as she drew the string, it clenched all of that fabric together and it made it tighter. And I felt that same warmth over me. And God just began to speak to me and he began to minister to me. And I got out my phone, and I don't really know how this service is going to go because I've never done a service like this. But I began to just type out what God was telling me. And what I can say is some of this is going to be my personal testimony. And I don't have a, I can teach you out of the Word, and I can teach you out of my life, and those are the things that I can teach you out of. And I've had seasons in my life where I was very numbed over and could not feel a whole lot. And so I understand that, if you deal with that. But I am coming out of, and I believe that I'm out of, a horrendous season of my life. But it has taken every bit of 5 years to get me out of it. And as I watched that lady clinch up that material, I just felt God, and he was saying, Kelly, I'm going to draw this in for you, and I'm going to explain some things that you've been through in the past 5 years, and I want you to make notes because I want the people, I'm going to pour out my spirit on every person that is in the place. And so I'm going to give you several opportunities to respond to the word. You may get 4 or 5 things out of this service that's going to change you. You may get one, but I believe that you're going to walk out of here and God's going to open up something in your life. I believe that there is a season of refreshing coming to us specifically here. If you're watching Facebook Live, and as she cinched that up, I just felt God say, I'm drawing in the past 5 years of your life, and I'm going to explain some things to you that you've not been able to understand. But I'm moving you, Kelly, in a settled place, and I'm settling you in this hard part, this hard season, it's over. And so I'm thankful to be out of the difficult, but I'm going to give you, I didn't even know what to name this, and I don't even know if you'd call it a message. I don't really know what to call it, but it's, I feel like straight from God's heart to yours. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to begin at verse 1. And if somebody said, describe the last 5 years of your life, I would bring them to Isaiah chapter 43, and I would say, I can describe it by telling you what God has helped me to do in the past 5 years and what he's brought me out of. And it says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you, and I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. And I want to tell you, for every blood-bought child of the living God, that I want to tell you that you're his, that you belong to him. I want to tell you that you're worth it. The devil will try to tell you that you're scum because of what you did. You'll walk around and you'll say, God, I'm ashamed of the thing that I did, and you won't feel forgiven. But, you know, I want to explain something to you. Just because you don't feel like you got forgiven for what you did doesn't mean that God did not forgive you. Sometimes we have to move past what we feel and walk in the forgiveness that truly exists. There's people, and you've messed some things up in your life, and you say, God, I'm so sorry. And you keep telling God just how sorry that you are. And God's saying, move past the sorry and realize that it doesn't matter if you feel forgiven, you're forgiven. And you're called. And you're called. And if the devil can shift you to not walk in your call, that's exactly what he'll do. And that's a way that he gets people totally in left field where they keep screwing their life up. So to read on, it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you and I have summoned you by name." I want to tell you this morning that you've been summoned by the living God. And not only have you been summoned, but you've been called out by name. And so you're not here by accident. God doesn't regret you. There's been a lot of times in the past 5 years where I felt like I was a regret. And I want to tell you that God doesn't regret the calling that He put on your life. He doesn't regret the first breath that you breathed when you came out of your mom. See, God doesn't regret you, but see, the devil will get you to feel like your whole life is just a big mess up and that you can't go on. Look here, you're going on. You're moving out. You're going into a season of refreshing, and God wants you to know that. When you walk out of here this morning, you need to begin to thank God for the refreshing that's coming to your life. And it says, "I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you." Let me tell you something. You've passed through some waters, and He's been with you. When I think about some of the things that were so gut-wrenching to me in the past 5 years, the only thing that I can say is that if it was not for the living God, I would have never made it out of those things. And when you're going through a hard time, maybe you're in a hard season, you've got to know that you know that you know that He's with you. You got to know that He's with you. If you want to get up out of a season in your life, you've got to know that He's with you. If you want that season of refreshing, it's time to throw your hands up in the air and say, "God, I thank You, because every demon in hell wants me to believe that You're not with me. But God, You're with me. You are with me. And God, because You're with me, I'm going to move up out of this." So it says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze." Look here. I can tell you that I have lived in a season where it was like drinking fire out of a hose. The first year of my pastoring was an absolute hell. It was. It was an absolute hell. I had services where I remember one service, I was standing right over here and I said, "Look here, I'm in the middle of a bunch of grief right now and I'm going to cry through this whole service and I don't know any other thing to do, but I'm going to have to preach through it." I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to preach through it. You're all preaching a message. You're going to have to preach your way through some things. If it's grief, then so be it. If it's depression, so be it. If it's infirmity, so be it. But you know what? God is with you. He has given you the strength. And if you're walking through fire right now, God's got you. He's got you right in the palm of His hand. He's not going to let you go. But God, sometimes He does not just take you out of the fire. Sometimes He allows you to go through it, and you'll be better off when you get to the other side. There is something called the trial of your faith. And when you are able to come up out of that, you are like refined silver. And that thing right there is worth more to you than anything, any dollar amount that you could ever have. Your trial of your faith, that's worth something to you. It's precious to you. When you can get on through something. And so know that He's with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. And since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. For every parent in here that's got a grown child and you're concerned about that grown child, I want you to stand up, because God wants to meet you right in this place. This is the first opportunity that I'm going to give you to respond to the word. And I want you to place it in your heart, that child, that situation. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, God, that has responded to your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are meeting them right in that spot. Lord, I thank you that that child is in the very palm of your hand, and God, you have not let them go. So God, in Jesus' name, I call that refreshing down. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for deliverance, God, for those grown kids. Lord, I call down and I cast out that spirit of rebellion that has gotten on some of these grown children. Lord, and I call down and bind up depression that it has caused the people that are standing. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a peace right now, Lord, about these kids. God, we give it to you right now. Now, God's telling you, if you're standing, he wants that burden right now. Don't sit down until it's lifted up off of you. He doesn't want you to be consumed day in and day out about the grown kid, because, see, God's got the grown kid. But what he wants is he wants you. See, when we're all messed up on the inside, Kayla, we have trouble giving God our whole self. God wants that burden. Don't sit down till you've given it to him, because he wants to lift it up off of you. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that the burden is being lifted off. God, we're going to see a move, God, in the lives of these kids. And Lord, I call it done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory and whom I formed and made. And what I want to ask you this morning is, are you ready for the outpouring of God on your life? Because you need to get ready for it, because it's on the way. It's on the way. Amen. I'm going to read some of my notes. Like I said, this is going to be a weird service. And here's some of the things that I wrote. I wrote several paragraphs here. As God put this into my spirit, life has been hard. You've gotten back up every single time. Every single time you've gotten back up. You've stuck in there when it wasn't easy. Look here, if it was easy, everybody be doing it. If it was easy, every pew in this place would be full. If it was easy, we'd have to have a different building. It ain't easy. You want to get through something. You want to get to the other side of where you're going, your destiny, your calling. Know this, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It ain't going to be easy. But what I can promise you is this. You have got the living God on your side, and he is going to get you through to where you need to go. But you got to get that crybaby stuff off of you, and you got to say, you know what, God? I realize this ain't going to be easy, but God, I'm not looking for easy. God, I'm looking for you. God, I'm looking for you. No, God, I don't care that it ain't easy, because God, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. And I want to put something out there. I want to burst some stuff in there. I know this is very dynamic this morning, but it is what it is. Here's the thing. When you are a Christian, and I'm going to begin to put some very simple teaching into people, because I don't think that people are getting certain things. You look at society and everybody's messed up. And I don't want my folks messed up, because I love you. I want you to have your best life. If every time something don't go your way and you're leaving God, you're wrong. If every time something gets your feathers ruffled and you're leaving the church, I want to tell you, you're in error. If every time something ticks you off and you're leaving this and you're leaving that, look here, God will never bless a quitter. He will never bless a quitter. And I'm going to tell you in the word why not. Because when he lay there on the cross, bleeding and bruised for our transgressions, he said these three words, and that's why he cannot bless a quitter. It is finished. That's why he will not bless a quitter, because you know what, Kayla? He finished what he came here to do, and God will not accept when we won't do the same. God wants you to finish what he started inside of you. you don't have the luxury of saying, well, my mama messed around in her life till she was 50, so I got 20 more years to be a dummy. No, you don't. I preached a lot of funerals of people. They didn't have time like mama did. How do we get through this season? Look here. Don't be a quitter. And don't be rebellious. There's a lot of people claiming to be saved, but rebellion is running through the blood of a lot of people. God cannot bless it. You've stuck in there when it wasn't easy. You carried the load of many by yourself. I remember there was one part, very, very early on as a pastor. And I needed something, and there was nobody there. And I got so mad at God. And I sat there in the middle of one of the worship services, and I was telling God just how mad I was. And God told me, Kelly, this is going to help you. This is going to help you so much. If you'll feed my sheep, if you'll go up there and you'll feed my sheep, if you'll minister, I'm going to what's concerning you. What I can tell you today, looking back, is when all hell breaks loose, you better do what you were called to do. You better do what you're supposed to do. Because if you don't, everything else in your life is falling apart. If it was easy, everybody would be doing this. It ain't easy. It's hard to do what you're supposed to do. Most of my messages, first year, I preached in depression, in brokenness, in discouragement, and in weariness. But you know what, Brother Paul? Here's what I knew. I was sticking with it. Come hell or high water. And that's what it takes. That's what it's going to take in your life. That's what it's going to take in your addiction. That's what it's going to take in your family. That's what it's going to take in your life. That's what it's going to take at your job. And don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at Him. Because He's always making all grace abound to you. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like it, and you got to move past your feelings. Because feelings are not facts. I look back, and as God is my witness, one of the things that I'm more thankful for than anything is that first year of pastoring. But in that moment, I wasn't feeling it. You made sacrifices for others that cost you deeply. Let me tell you something. It's going to cost you to love people. It's going to cost you to be a child of God. It's going to cost you to turn the other cheek. I'm giving you tips that are going to help you be successful. It's going to cost you to move forward in your life. It's going to cost you. Everything has a price. There were sacrifices that I made. And you know what? There's folks, and you've been wondering, why am I still in this part of life? Because you refused to sacrifice. God's asking for sacrifice from His children. You loved when it would have been easier to hate. Let me tell you something. I can hate on somebody with the best of them, and I can hold a grudge better than anybody I know. But that'll sure slow things down. Love people. Love them. Love them. as mad as you are at them, love them. As much as you can't stand them, love them. As much as you think that you hate them, love them. As much of a grudge as you have against them, love them. As much as you say they've done this a million times, they're never going to change, God says to love them. You stood when you wanted to quit. You allowed the brokenness to come in and flow through every part of you because of the pure love that you have for others. Let me tell you something. This world, if it'll do anything, it'll break you. That's why the world tells you, God tells you, now you're going to be in the world, but don't be of the world. And if you of the world, you're going to walk around and you're going to be broke in every form of the way. See, God has a wholeness for his kids. And there's too many Christians that are walking around with brokenness. God wants to make you whole. But it's gonna put you in a point where you're saying, you know what, God, I'm standing on my tippy toes. I don't know. I can't stretch any further. Growth hurts. Moving forward, sometimes it hurts. You're going to feel like every part of you can't do it no more. Look here. That's where you need to be. Breathe fresh air. It's here, and it's your time, and your time is right now. Your time is right now. Right now. There's too many times where we're saying, oh, when this happens, look here, don't put it off anymore. Go with God. Go with him. I believe God is taking us to a time of refreshing. I'm going to tell each person, don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of the unknown. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 44. Actually, Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and right now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Here, God is making a way. God is making a way. Because look here, Bobby, there's times where we get into something. If he didn't make a way, we'd have a real problem. But look here, he always makes a way. When you're in the middle of something, understand this, he's going to make a way. When you feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know, God, how this is going to fix. Look here, you don't have to know. You just need to know that it is. You need to know that it is. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. There's been a lot of dryness in the hearts of believers. There's been a lot of dryness in the hearts of y'all. There's been a lot of dryness in my heart. I believe we're about to have a pouring out of God. And that's going to require you to get up out of your comfort zone. I remember being a kid and being in services right here in this building, or people would pray in tongues so loud that would get all up over you. Look here, what happened to that? Who speaks in tongues in here? Raise your hand. You want revival? That's going to start with you. You want the Holy Spirit to saturate the person next to you? That starts inside of you. You want success? Look here. God, I'll let you do anything that you want to do. God, I've got a vision for this. See, God took a very small vision of mine, and He grew it into what we now know as the food ministry that feeds most of Logan County. God will take something, and He'll make it more than you ever thought that it could be. But it starts up inside of you. Go with me to Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 30. And we're actually going to do verses 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Verse 31. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so many times we focus on the loving your neighbor part. And here's what I want to tell you. Love your neighbor as yourself. You've got to love yourself also. You've got to love yourself also. You've got to love yourself also. Think enough of yourself to get help when you need to get help. Think enough of yourself to surrender to God and say, God, I can't anymore, but I know that you can. And I'm going to put this out there because I believe that God has called me, and one of the things that God has called me to do is have a huge influence on people. And there was a time and there was a season in the past 5 years where I did seek help and I did go to a counselor and I did have counseling. And I want to say that mental health is a real thing. If pastors and if leaders and if the church would take the stigma off of mental health, there would be a lot of things that would stop. And I want to say from the leadership on down, there's no shame in asking for help. And a part of what got me on the other side of this is letting all the stigma fall and just saying, I need help. Several times I sat on the couch and I thought, what am I doing here? This is ridiculous. I'm going to tell this person my issues. But that one time, in a moment, God said, you got what I got you here for. You got it. And it was this right here. My counselor said, Kelly, if you will just decide to go ahead and completely break the mold of everything else, you're going to move past this. And you're afraid to do that. And I want to tell you something. Don't be afraid to break the mold. Don't be afraid to get out and do something different that you've never done before. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to be the only one. Proverbs 11 and 25. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was standing out in the parking lot on Wednesday, and it was about 103, 104 degrees. And I did fine the whole time, but those last 10 minutes, something, I just felt sick, and I felt like I was about to pass out. And I remember my sweet little Mitzi came up to me, and she had a cup. And it had ice water in it. And she got me that cup before she got one for herself. And she said, "Pastor Kelly, you need this." And Mitzi, right when you did that, God said, "Kelly, at some point you give Mitzi this first because refreshing's coming to Mitzi." I'm going to read that again. "A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." And I want to tell you something. Everybody's all about me, 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 me. There's actually a country song, "I want to talk about me, I want to talk about I want to talk about one, number one, oh my, me, my." Look here, I get it. Get over yourself. "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." You ready to get to the new, to do the thing that God says, "I'm doing something new"? You ready to be there? Fashion your life, because here is a promise right in the Word of God. And it promises you that if you will make yourself be someone that refreshes others, God will refresh you. One of the biggest qualities about a successful person is their ability to think about other people besides themselves. Refresh. Be a person of refreshing. We've all been around people, and they just will suck the life out of you. There's people that they'll just, every time you get around them, just drain you, drain you, drain you. Look here. Don't be that. Be somebody that's going to be a refreshing. When you want to sit there and shoot the bull with somebody and tell them how bad your life is and compare war stories, shut up. Stop. And just say, "You know what? I'm not going to give the devil any more glory out of my sob stories. I'm going to tell him how good God is. I'm going to tell him what God's done in my life." Are you busted up this morning? Stop talking about it and start telling about how good God was to you. Because, see, God has been good to every one of us. It's how you're looking at your life. If you're looking at it in a negative way, all you're going to see is negative. If you'll blink and look again and say, "God, show me what I need to see," God's going to give you an outlook that's going to change you. But if you're negative, Nancy, that's going to have to change. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now, this is a big one. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." There were so many times in the past 5 years, Brother Gary, where I was looking at everything and everybody to fill me with what only God could. Stop looking at things and stop looking at people like they can do God's job, because they can't. When you're running on empty, only God can fill you. And it's your job to put yourself in a position where He can do that. If you're going at both ends, and you never give God any opportunities to speak to you. You can gain the whole world and then lose your soul. You can gain the whole world and lose your soul. You know how many people on Judgment Day are going to try to tell God, I did all these good things. I did all these good deeds. Priorities. Get them in line and get them in order. They've got to line up with the Word. Your filling is coming from God and nobody else. Nobody else. I tell this story, and I'm not going to tell it, but I've told the story about laying on a couch for 3 days. And God finally said on the third day, Kelly, get up out of the couch. And I got up out of the couch, and I hit my knees. And I lifted my hands, and I said, God, I'm totally empty. There's some people, and you're telling God right now, I'm totally empty. God wants to fill every single ounce of every broken part of you. Will you let Him? There's a song that Dad sings, and a part of it is, will you let me live in your heart of hearts? Will you let me reign? This is the only life you're living on planet Earth. There aren't any do-overs. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you can say in here this morning, God, I feel like I'm empty, and I need you to fill me. Right now, I'm going to ask you to stand. Lord God, in Jesus' name, you see every person. God, every one of them is crying out to you right now, and they're telling you, God, I feel empty. Lord, I ask that you would do, God, only what you can do. Lord, fill every person. God, I ask that you would saturate every heart right now. God, and I ask that you would give us our joy back. God, give us our peace. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you're putting a resolve. You're putting a resolve to the things that has gotten us so upset. The very things that have gotten us on empty. God, I thank you that resolve is coming right now. In Jesus' name, I call it in. Lord, from the north and the east and the south and the west, God, you know every detail. And God, you have taken care of every detail right now. God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you'd fill them up. Fill them up, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You have options. You can let hope fill you, or you can let other things fill you. When you feel despair or anxiety or stress or overwhelming, when you feel that coming on you, how many of you can feel that stuff? You have to put a stop to that. The Word says in Genesis that He's given you dominion. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When you feel these things coming up on you, see, the devil wants you to stay in the same place for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But see, the Word says, now I have come that you would have life and have it in abundance. Take authority over those things that want to sit and dwell in your life. You speak to them. you command them that they're leaving. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 21 through 26. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love. See, God doesn't just have an ordinary love for you. Because of His great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. God does not have the ability to fail you. So what you've got to do in your life is you have got to take failure off of the table. Because look here, if you stick with God, you're going to succeed. If you stick with God, you're going to succeed. If you veer off to the left and to the right, and you leave God, therein comes failure. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. God's been faithful to you. God's been faithful. Don't think for a second that God hasn't had you right here your whole life. If you could see every time that the devil tried to do you in that you didn't even know about, God's had you. What does he want back from you? Your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Look here. God is all that you need. He is your portion. So many times, Kayla, I thought that I needed something from another person. Look here, I didn't. The first year of pastoring, there was a service. No praise and worship leader, no nothing. Because I was depending on people. And Aunt Patty, I had no singers. Now, don't you feel bad. You're in Kansas, and God was doing something else with you. I sat there, and that'll just make you feel awful. God said, Kelly, you don't need it. You don't need it. Play a song. You don't need it. I'm going to tell you something. When God tells you that He's with you, He's with you. And sometimes He's with you in a very unique way. And you know what? That's okay. God's not a cookie cutter God. And so when we get ideas in our head of what we think that we need to be able to move on, look here, Brother Paul, what God's going to have to do with people like that, because I am one of those people and I was, God had to take everything that I thought that I needed to be able to be a pastor, and He removed them. Why? Because only God can tell you what you need, and then He gives it to you. Some of you, you're stuck in a season. It's because you've got an idea of what you think needs to happen for everything to go right in your life. Let me tell you something. There's times where you're going to have to grieve the idea of what you thought and move on with what God says. His mercies are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And if there's one thing that I can tell you, is there's a blessing in waiting and waiting quietly. And it's not easy to do. Can you wait? Can you wait on Him? And can you wait quietly? Can you wait faithfully? Can you wait on God? Go with me to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. See, every one of you, whether you like it or not, you're on assignment. And he's assigned it to you. Every one of us. You have made my lot secure. There's too many believers. Very insecure. Look here. God is the only real security. And when we walk around with insecurity, it hinders us in everything that we do. Everything that we do. There's some of us, and we're telling God, I can't do this because of this in my past. Look here. Your past does not define you. For the first 6 months of after my divorce, all I could hear was somebody saying, you'll be walking down the road one day and somebody will point at you and they'll say, there goes that divorced pastor. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not the God that I serve. And if you will stop telling God every reason you can't and say, God, if you said I can, that's good enough. And Barbara, I would wake up at night and I would just cry because I would hear that over and over. And God asked me one day, Kelly, do you want to be that divorce pastor or do you want to be a world changer? And I said, God, I want to change the world with you. He said, well, you're going to have to leave that part behind then. There's going to have to be some things that you just say, I'm going to leave that behind. They've hurt you real bad. And you've been stuck in a season because you will not let that go. You've got to move past that or you're going to be stuck there for the rest of your life. If there's something like that that I've just described, I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to be able to move past it. I'm going to wait a moment. God, in Jesus' name, I cancel out right now everything that has come upon these folks, everything that hinders them. God, the words that's been spoken over them, the situations, God, that we're stuck on, and we say, God, I love you, but I can't let that go. God, I love you, but I can't move past it. God, in Jesus' name, I cancel those out right now with the blood of Jesus. God, and I ask you right now, Lord, to get us past this. Lord, only you can. And God, I'm asking you right now to make it so. To make it so. In Jesus' name. Lord, I tell every person in here, God, to move past it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance, and I will praise the Lord who counsels me, and even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. here's some of what I wrote yesterday on that plane. I will make a way where there seemed to be no way. Let hope fill every part of you where there's been doubt. God will not fail. Look with eyes of expectation. Behold, I am doing a new thing. New vision, new ideas, new creativity, new fresh anointing. You were faithful. You stood. The bumps in the road didn't keep you down. And right there at that part, Jill, I stopped, and I just began to cry. Right on that airplane, I was thinking, Frank's going to think I'm gone insane. And I began to talk to God, and here's what I told God. I said, God, I'm so grateful. One of the things about success is learning how to tell God just how grateful that you are. How grateful that you are. If it was not for you, God, I could not have made it. But because of you, I did. And here's what God told me to read to y'all. Invitations. Invitations. God's saying, tell them to make invitations. And here's what for. I invite healing right now in Jesus' name. I invite forgiveness into my life in Jesus' name. I invite love right now in Jesus' name. I invite joy. I invite peace. I invite prosperity. I invite protection. I invite opportunity. I invite purity. Is that welcome up in your life? There's invitations, and God's saying, you tell my kids to make some invitations. If there's some invitations in your life and you say, I know what they are and I need to make those invitations, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because, see, look here. There's folks you need to say, God, I invite that peace up into my life right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for every invitation going out today. And God, I speak forth, God, every one of them in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God. You see, all of heaven is seeing those coming up right now. I tell healing to flow in this place. I tell peace to flow. I tell gladness to return right now in Jesus' name. God, every invitation, God, is authored by you right now in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. For all of you getting nervous, I've got 3 more minutes and I'm using every one of them. Get over it. Psalm 121. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I'm going to tell you something. Your help is only coming from God. Stop looking around and wondering what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it. Because look here, Melissa, God ain't going to have you do it the way that everybody else is. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, you either want the maker of everything taking up your case, or you want some fiddly farter over here that thinks that they can help you. Look here, there's some things only God can help you with. And when that's a situation, that's where you need to recognize my help is coming from God, and that's it. So I'm going to stop seeking help where I know it can't be found, and I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to knock it up till I got the answer, till I have the peace. My help is coming from God. He will not let, this is a promise, and you got to grab a hold of it. He will not let your foot slip. He doesn't have the ability to. He's God. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. God's been watching over y'all. in every season. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the new moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. From all harm. In Jesus' name. From all harm. He will watch over your life, and the Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Last place, John chapter 15. God raised up a standard for you. For your sake. He did not allow you to be taken down. And because of that, we owe him. We owe God. What do we owe him? A commitment. You got to be committed to your walk, to your relationship, to your friendship with him. I began to ask God on this plane, God, fill my heart and make it beat for you. Fill my lungs with your purpose and my mind with your plans. And when I left that plane, Sherry, I felt that shift. And just as that woman cinched up that piece that she was making, look here, God wants to cinch some things and bring a full circle. You've been in this, and it's over. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Some of what you've been going through has been a pruning. There was parts of you he had to prune off. He had to cut them out because they weren't producing anything good for you in your life. Sometimes when the pruning takes place, it's painful. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. What God had to do for you, was it painful? Yes. Why did he do it? So you could be even more than what you were. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. By yourself, you can't do anything. Young people, listen to your pastor. Don't think that you can get anywhere in life without God. And you got a room full of people that you need to learn from them by observation instead of experience. You may think that you just know it all, and I want to tell you something. You don't. You don't. You don't know it all. You don't know it all. How many of you can tell your kids, I thought I knew it all and I messed some things up and I'm praying to God that you don't mess your life up. Look here. Every teenager and kid in this place, don't mess your life up. God will fix it. But look here. There are things that you can do with your life if you'll learn from us. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to tell you something. Apart from God, you can do nothing. The last part of what I have felt in the past 5 years is the pruning that only came from God. And yes, it's 12:05 and I'm not apologizing for it. And anybody that don't like it, you can be dismissed. But one of the most important things for me, that ripped my heart out and broke my heart is the pruning process. And that is the most painful thing. When God has to prune people out of your life that you loved with every fiber of your being, when He prunes them out, because with them, you weren't producing any fruit. That's painful, and it hurts. That is probably the most gut-wrenching thing. And it makes you mad at God, because it makes you say, well, God, what did I do, and what this, and what that? Look here. It's the process. You can't get to where you're going with every person that's still up in your life. Some people, they're probably going to be with you till the end, but some of them ain't. And when God decides to prune, don't get mad. Don't get mad at God about it. See, I've been mad at God for probably all of 2023, just over the pruning process. And yesterday, as I sat on that plane, God said, Kelly, those people, I have removed them. You don't need them. You can't go to the next level with them. They were a crutch for you. And I removed them. If you're in here in this place today, this is my last prayer, and we're going to close with this. If you feel like you're in a pruning process and you've been resisting that, and you know that there's some people, places, and things that you know that God wants to prune out of your life, and you've been resisting, but you're going to make a surrender, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Lord, in Jesus' name, for every person. See, right now, this is a yield. Lord, you see every yielded person right here. God, we allow you to be the pruner right now in every situation. You know every one of them. God, I ask that you'd prune. God, do what's necessary. Lord, make the necessary cut. Because, God, you've got what's the best thing for us up ahead of us. And I thank you that, God, you give us a spirit of obedience to move forward with the pruning. Now, everybody stand together. I'm going to dismiss finally. It's 12:08. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your word that has come out. Lord, I ask that you would cause it to grow. Lord, for every person that responded, God, and reacted to your word, Lord, I thank you that they are forever changed. And God, I thank you right now for the refreshing that's coming. God, I believe that it is knocking at every door in this place. And I thank you for the season of refreshing. Lord, there are breakthroughs coming for these folks. There are healings coming for these folks. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.